Thank you for listening to this DuPont Media production, available on all major podcast platforms. This is Rod Peterson on demand.
Hey, good morning, Canada, and welcome to a Football Friday here on the Rod Peterson Show. And as the graphic mentioned, it's the Darren DuPont Show today. Again, Rod spending the weekend in Vegas. So you got me alongside the two football gurus and John Lynch and Craig Smith. How are you guys this morning?
Doing well.
You're looking good. I like the. I don't like the New England Patriot outfit, but I like the New England Patriot outfit.
I'm not a big Patriot fan, but I obviously respect the organization, and I love this logo. I think it's the best.
You're a little bit like Rod in that you like the gear,
yeah,
too, right? And
yeah,
having a little bit from everybody.
Oh, for sure. Yeah,
that looks good.
Where some guys, they won't touch it if it's not their team.
Really? That touchy?
But you're okay with that?
Oh yeah. I see. The funny thing, like, I've got my team is the Vikings, and I've got other teams that I don't mind. Then yeah. I've got teams that I can't stand, and I would rarely have their gear. But yeah, it's kind of funny. But if I'm Waldorf, he's Statler.
Yeah, there you go. Wayne's watching in BC. Good morning, Wayne. Good morning to the folks at Rockstar watching this morning as well as those at Wendell Clark's in Saskatoon. One weekend, actually, that I won't be in Saskatoon. This is rare, so won't get to stop at Wendell's this morning. And happy Friday to everybody watching on the Facebook feed. Yes, happy Valentine's Day, too. Got the Valentine down in front. That was delivered this morning.
Well, you got two.
There you can see. Well, one's the envelope. Thank you, Mom, for the Valentine. And I'm not kidding, either.
Who's the small one?
And no, it's from her. It just came in the Valentine. She just did such a nice job with the heart and my name on the envelope.
Nice.
Yeah, so I had to do that. So no, it's a great Friday coming to you from the greatest country to live in the world. Did you see that? The World Index put out the best places to live.
No,
and Canada's number one.
Is that right?
Of course,
that's
it is.
Fantastic.
Yeah. United States rolling in at number 15.
15. Huh?
Who's number two?
Who would you think?
England.
Denmark coming in at number two.
Denmark.
Followed by Sweden, Norway, and Australia.
Boy, the Scandinavian countries.
There you go.
Strong.
Hey, lots to get to this morning on the program. It's going to be a great football Friday, but we've got to touch on some hockey, too, because it was a wild night in the NHL. We'll have Craig Smith and John Lynch in here throughout the show, but John Murphy, the Toronto Argonauts assistant general manager, and some might say the real mastermind in Toronto, he's going to join the program doing great things with the Argonauts. Arash Madani from Sportsnet will be by a little bit later on in hour one, too. And we'll have Dave Campbell checking in from 6:30 Chet in Edmonton. And then we're going to hopefully connect with Rod in Vegas coming up before we're done today. So we got to check in with Rod. That's on my list of things to get to today. And I want your thoughts. We're going to poll the audience here, and then we're going to ask Rod a little bit later on. If you've been following his Instagram story, I mean, he's seeing everybody in Vegas.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody. He's hanging out with our friends Gary Lawless and Darren Millard on the television studio. We're seeing that. He's hanging out with the dads of the St. Louis Blues, Mitch Bozak and them. He's hanging out with the public address announcer. He's hanging out with Kelly McCrimmon, all of these people.
Yeah.
So going to ask you in the Facebook feed, who do you think is the most interesting person or Rod's favorite person that he ran into in Vegas on day one? The favorite person out of all of them, and we'll ask him when he comes back on the show. Of the people in Vegas that he ran into. It could be somebody that you haven't even seen on his Instagram
story. The coach of...
John Gruden.
The Golden Knights.
Oh, of the Golden Knights.
The coach, I don't
Peter
mean.
DeBoer.
Yeah, and Gruden.
Well, John Gruden, Mark Davis, they were at the Golden Knights game last night. So
Rod had a picture of him.
He had a picture. So that's interesting. We'll see. Who's Rod hanging out with?
That could be a female, eh?
Yeah. Could be.
How about Jennifer
Keep
Lopez?
That to yourself. Good morning to Trent in Norway. Says Norway here. The old Patriots gear looks good on Craig. Cassian needs to watch his skates and know that someone could suffer greatly. Hope Arsenal can be back, and then it trails off. Hopes he can be back in the Ryder fold. Have a good weekend. All right, good. Happy Friday.
What was Norway Trent. On the? What was Norway on the?
Norway.
Because it was third or something?
Fourth. So Norway coming in at fourth. So
Where was England? Britain.
Too far down the list. I don't have that many on my list. So it's not in the top 10. Great Britain's 12th.
Wow.
Great Britain's 12th. So there you go. NHL last night. We got to start with the Edmonton Oilers and the Tampa Bay Lightning. We'll talk about the game, which the Oilers lost, by the way. But all the news comes around the Zach Cassian kicking incident. If you haven't seen it, get on social media, look at it quickly. Zach Cassian got his feet up, and he kicked Tampa Bay Lightning's Eric Chernak. It didn't look good. It didn't look bad. Yeah. It was dangerous, but yet nothing came about it. So it was a pile up, on the ice. They were both down. He was tied up, and he got his foot loose, and he kicked him. He pushed him in the chest to kind of get away.
Yeah.
Nobody got hurt. Both players agreed it wasn't very hard, right? Here's the quote from Cassian. That play, he was holding my leg, and it was just reactionary. I just tried to get loose. I was laying there a while, and he was trying to get my leg up, and I was trying to get my leg out and get moving. So that's what it was.
Yeah, he's quite the guy, the way. I don't know if he's an asset or not, but he got a big contract last week, so.
Yeah. Zach Cassian having an in-person hearing with the NHL, which opens him up to a suspension of six or more games, potentially. Doesn't mean that's going to happen.
When he's in-person, who's that? He's open to it, not right.
No. He's been called to an in-person hearing. If it's over the phone, typically it's a fine or a smaller suspension. If you get called for an in-person hearing, you got to come down to New York. That's a different story. So he's got to go down and answer for it, which leads into our daily poll question for Capital Auto Mall Universal Collision Center this morning. How many games will Zach Cassian get? The answers are simple. 0, 1-3, 4-6, or 7 or more. Now, there was an incident in 2012. Jeff Skinner, with his skate, he got 2 games for that. If you remember back before that, I'd have to double check the year. Remember the Chris Pronger stomping incident? Yeah. He got 8 games for stomping. Now,
that wasn't. Yeah.
It comes down to intent for me and the result. Yeah. Now, if there's blood, you're looking at a Donald Brashear type of incident, type of punishment.
But this wasn't very deliberate, was it, last night?
It's hard to say because we all do this. This comes from us being kids. Your older brother, your dad gets on you, you get claustrophobic, and you start pushing and kicking and pushing away, right?
Yep.
So it's reactionary, it's instinctual, but you just can't use your skates and hit somebody with your skates that are razor sharp ever.
They like this guy in Edmonton, eh?
They like him in Edmonton.
The coaches like him.
Of course.
They gave him that big contract.
Why wouldn't you? He's a tough player. He scores goals. He does a lot of really good things.
Yeah.
But I look back to a couple of nights ago, and you have the Zdeno Chara, Brendan Gallagher incident, where Zdeno Chara, not a small guy, cross-checks Brendan Gallagher in the throat.
Yeah.
You got a $5,000 suspension.
Yeah.
So you look at him the next day, Brendan Gallagher today, he's having trouble still eating soup, probably.
Yeah.
Gets his throat crushed by Zdeno Chara. It's a suspension. And Eric Chernak, he's okay. There's no problems. He doesn't even feel it. But you can't use your skates at all. So if you're asking me, I think he gets suspended, but I think it's 1-3 games.
I agree.
1-3.
It was a kick. It wasn't a bad kick, but it was a kick.
But you have to.
With a skate.
You have to drop him down. He's a repeat offender this year.
You just don't do that.
It's time.
Can't do it. Breaking news this morning. Clark's got it in the feed here on the prompter. The Minnesota Wild have fired coach Bruce Boudreau. So Minnesota Wild and Bruce Boudreau parting ways. So that's interesting this morning. To the game, really like Braden Point's game last night against the Edmonton Oilers. He had an assist on the empty net goal, but Tampa was just really, really good in that game, beating Edmonton. Was the final 3-1?
3-1, yeah.
So there you go. It was 12 minutes in that hockey game before a player other than Ryan Nugent-Hopkins had a shot on goal for Edmonton. Took 12 minutes for somebody else to register a shot. You think that speaks to lack of depth?
Yeah.
They got to find somebody to step up with Connor McDavid out of.
Well, how long has he gone for?
Two to three or something like that?
Clark. Oh, Rod's got his. He's watching. Rod's watching. And he's got his answer this morning to his question. He says Marcus Allen. He's hanging out with Marcus Allen?
Wow.
That is endlessly cool.
Yeah, that's great.
Damon's brother.
Yeah. That's cool.
That is cool.
Toronto Maple Leafs fell 3-2 to Dallas last night. More problems for the Leafs, who are very inconsistent. Just 6 wins in their last 15 games, and only 3 of those in regulation. Thought they did well getting, you know, enough shots on goal, putting pressure on lately. And Austin Matthews, I mean, he continues to play well. 41st goal of the season, and it was a laser. He's now tied with David Pastrnak for the league lead. But similar to Edmonton, it took Toronto 11 and a half minutes to get their first shot on goal.
That's incredible.
11 and a half minutes. And Dallas scored on each of their first shots of the period.
Yeah.
First shot of the first period, goal. First shot of the second period,
goal. At least
they're
in trouble defensively. Goal. Big trouble defensively, the Leafs.
Great first shot of the third period, goal.
Great team offensively, but
they're actually playing better defensively. Yeah.
But, you know, right now as we talk, are they still in third place?
Yes, okay. As of this morning.
You read that paper from Toronto, you think that's the end of the world, but they're in the playoffs right
but
now.
But they're doing some things right. I mean, Austin Matthews is scoring. Yep. The thing I liked last night is both Matthews and McDavid set new career highs for time on ice. Matthews played over 27 minutes. Yeah. Marner played just shy of 27 minutes.
Wow.
So that's a lot, sure but you is. Want your best players on the ice.
Yes.
You need them playing.
Matthews is really a sensational hockey player.
Oh, he's unreal.
Yeah. He is.
Going to be the next great one.
But congratulations to Andrew Cogliano of the Dallas Stars, playing his 1,000th game. Oh, junior A hockey player to the NHL, plays 1,000 games.
How many goals has he got?
Pretty exciting. I'd have to go back and look at his stat line. But
did you see at the start, they all came off the ice so he could skate on all by himself?
That's a rookie move, and they did it to the vet for 1,000 games. I like it.
That's great.
I think that's pretty good. So there you go. Pat, watching this morning, says, Frenzy Friday. There's a bunch of heart emojis up there. Happy Valentine's Day. Is that to Frenzy, the Valentine's Day, or to all of us?
All of us.
Happy Valentine's Day.
All of us.
There you go. Daryl Pratt's watching this morning, says, Cassian's a goon and deserves at least 1-3 games for the incident, I believe. Yeah, it's interesting. I think the Chara thing, just because it happened this week and because he got a fine, not a suspension, and that's dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I wouldn't be surprised if Cassian just got a fine. But in-person hearing, that leads me to believe he will be suspended.
Yeah. But who does he talk to?
It could be
in-person.
A long one.
Is that the vice president of officiating?
Director of player safety, George Parros, will be in that meeting. A guy who's been known, he knows how to play a tough hockey game, right? So George Parros will be a part of that for sure. The Calgary Flames were really good in a bounce-back effort last night.
6-0.
6-0 over Anaheim. 44-save shutout for Cam Talbot, the former Edmonton Oilers goaltender, in the 6-0. When it was points night, that coming off the heels of our disappointing loss to L.A., but the Flames looked really good last night, so full marks to the Flames on that one. And now they come home for a few games this weekend, so that's great. And it was wild in Vegas, where Rod's hanging out. There was so much going on. Stanford for the St. Louis Blues had a hat trick, but it wasn't enough.
Yeah.
Vegas battled all the way back, put that game into overtime, and ended up winning the game 6-5. So a real wild night in Las Vegas. So
would have been a good one to be at.
It would have been a great one.
He's going to see a couple more, isn't he, too?
He's going to see the Islanders.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to be a big one.
Yeah.
And go down to the morning skate and see Jordan Eberle. So that'll be real fun. But it was everybody in the house there tonight. So if you haven't seen it, go to Instagram. Check out Rod's Instagram story. You see him hanging out with everybody, and you can see it was John Gruden and Mark Davis of the Vegas Raiders were there. He tells us he's hanging out with Marcus Allen. So much going on. So
Gruden would be a great guy to talk to, eh?
I think so. I mean, he almost watches as much football as you do, Craig.
He's incredible. I talked to him actually in Baltimore. He was doing a show. They were doing a broadcast, and I went up to him and introduced myself. I said, hey, I knew Bobby Eccles, and Bobby Eccles just loved Gruden and his work ethic, and great guy. And I think I might have told this before, but, you know, nice meeting, and he says, go find some players, which I thought was pretty funny. But, good guy.
Well, they're going to open this year, right?
That's pretty great. What's that?
They're going to open this year.
Yep. They're excited.
It's a new stadium.
They're excited.
I imagine Rod will take a picture of the stadium. Eh?
Well, I'm sure he will.
It'll be covered, won't it?
Yeah, oh, sure.
Yeah. If you look at it, they've had pictures of drive-bys. It's kind of round.
Oh,
And it's all black with tinted windows. It looks unbelievable.
Oh, wow.
But it looks very Raider-ish. That's a good way to put it.
What, 80,000?
It's very Raiders. I don't know what the capacity is in there. We'll have to take a peek and see. And we're going to talk some tennis today. along with some football on a Football Friday. We're going to talk CFL free agency for sure. You guys have done your homework.
I have.
So this is great. You guys watching and listening, wherever you may be, if you're watching on the Facebook live feed or you're listening live at rodpeterson.com, you're going to get a treat because these guys are going to educate us. They've been doing some homework. So we'll all get to sit back and enjoy that because a real treat. And we're going to talk with Arash Madani after the break. And I'm going to talk to him about some tennis for sure. Vasek Pospisil on a great run. One of the good Canadian tennis players right now. He won his opening match at the ATP event in Rotterdam over the number one seed in the event, Daniil Medvedev. That was impressive. Unfortunately, he lost yesterday, so he's out. But he's moved up a ton of spots, over 150 spots, and he's doing it, if you saw this, thanks to maple syrup.
Yeah.
You see that?
Oh, that was the guy.
That was him. So he's drinking maple syrup on the tennis court, like as in between breaks. And
the Canadian kid?
The Canadian kid.
How about that?
So, how about that? So
we don't give him enough credit, eh? Tennis, do you think?
No. Not even close. So we're going to do that today a little bit. So please bear with us. We're going to give tennis a little love because right now on the screen, if you look at my Snapchat and Instagram, I'm watching tennis right now. So we've got Felix Auger-Aliassime, the young 19-year-old Canadian phenom. He's playing right now against Alias Badin. I think that's how you say his name. He's a Slovenia, and he's up 3-0 in the second set. Took the first set 6-4. So looking
good for him.
Looking pretty good. All right, let's get into Football Friday and a whole lot more on the other side. This has been the rollout for our friends at Flooring Superstore. Trent and the folks at Flooring Superstore, good morning. Happy Valentine's Day to everybody, and we'll be back with more of the Rod Peterson Show here on Facebook Live and listen live at rodpeterson.com.
2020 has officially arrived. It's time to trade and upgrade at Capital Ford Lincoln. Trade up on a brand new 2019 F-150 Super Crew 4x4. They're starting at just $34,999 plus tax. That's savings up to 30% off. Plus, get 19% off all remaining new 2019 Ford Escapes. 4x4s are starting as low as $25,999 plus tax. Happening for a limited time at Saskatchewan's 2019 number one Ford store, Capital Ford Lincoln in Regina.
Direct West provides us with stats and analytics, and it's amazing for us to look and see that, you know, each year we're 10 to 20% higher on our Google leads. It's great to see the success that our locations are having. The Direct West app gives us an opportunity to be in one place for people to find any of our locations or our commodities. Without Direct West, we would have to be in multiple digital places. I would recommend Direct West. They're great to work with.
This isn't just a beer. This is a double-aged, never-back-down, full-of-heart Western beer. This is a beer brewed by 16 guys who risked it all. Original 16. Underdogs since 1989.
Laid back and kicking it, let's head back to the studio. Here's Rod.
Hey, welcome back to the Rod Peterson Show on the air. Darren Dupont in for Rod Peterson, who's away in Vegas hanging out with everybody, not just the Golden Knights, it seems. Marcus Allen, he's hanging out with the Vegas Raiders. Cherry's checking in on the Facebook wall, says, speaking of Vegas, any truth to the rumor that Roddy will be a walk-on at the Aerosmith show on Saturday night? You know what?
Don't discount it.
Yes. I would not. I would not eliminate that from the
he'd
realm
look good
of
next
things
thing,
that are possible.
In a little bikini.
A bikini.
Oh man! I got to add that to the things to ask Rod. Aerosmith.
How about the ruckus from Jennifer Lopez in the Super Bowl? Fantastic.
Yeah,
absolutely incredible.
Now, if you want Rod in that outfit, there'd be even more ruckus. That would not be good, but. It probably wouldn't be a surprise of things that happen.
Oh, that's for sure.
In Vegas. Are you a Vegas guy, Craig?
Love it.
You love it.
Yeah.
You were saying you love the lights. What's your thing to do in Vegas?
You go to a show.
Yeah.
Yeah, go to a show. But just walk. Just walk. You know, a couple of years ago, we had a free agent camp there. Shivers put it on. I was with BC at the time. And I said to, do you think I could stay an extra day? Yeah, sure. So I was kind of a little further north and just walked to the strip and walked down. And walked all the way down to the MGM Grand and all of, you know, that area.
Yeah.
Oh, just loved it.
Very
just
cool.
Loved it. And the food, of course, you know, it's great. But I like shows. I really like going to shows.
You know what? I've only been a couple of times. And when I went, it was my brother and some younger guys. And so we didn't do anything. I mean, you just drink and gamble and party and you don't do anything. And then I go back and have more of a Vegas trip. I'm like, this is great.
Yeah.
The food, I mean, going to Ramsey's place. I really like Bobby Flay's place in Caesars. That was really good. But it was the show. And it had I had no intentions of ever going to the show. And if you know me or you've kind of heard my story, I don't spend a lot of money. I don't make a lot of money because I'm putting it all into this, right? And trying to build something, right? Mm-hmm. So we go to Vegas and I'm on a tight budget, a little bit of money for gambling every day, a little bit of money for food and entertainment, but not a lot. So we are walking through one of the hotels. I think it might have been the Flamingo or Bally's or one of those down there, walking through one of the casinos, and you get stopped by, you know, the marketing people. Mm-hmm. And end up going to one of the timeshare presentations. Oh, yeah. You know, he got lured in with all the free stuff, right? Yeah. Tickets and gift cards. And we went and spent a half a day, the morning, the next morning, over at one of the timeshare places. And they give you the sales pitch and they walk you. I almost bought a timeshare. Like, I'm not kidding.
Yeah.
And they ask you several times, how many of you are here because you really want to do something great for your family and a timeshare, and a couple hands go up. How many are here for the free stuff? And everybody's hand goes up. And I'm like, my hand goes up. They know, right? Mm-hmm. So they say, hey, I know you're just here for the free stuff. You just got to get through this, and then we're done. Well, they're good.
Yeah.
We need them selling here.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
I almost bought a timeshare. I don't have money for a timeshare. I have no interest in a timeshare. Yeah. So you suffer through. I barely got out of there without buying a timeshare. But then we got tickets to a show. We got a bunch of food vouchers. Yeah. It was a really great deal.
Yeah.
So with that, the show we went to a magic show. And then we went to the show, the Absinthe show, right at Caesars at the tent. And it's not a little offside. It's a lot offside, the show. But it's acrobatics and it's everything. It was really, really great. So the show is in Vegas.
Incredible.
They're incredible.
Yeah.
What about the crowds there, eh?
Oh, crowds are unbelievable.
Yeah.
Arash Madani has checked in. He's on the video chat. He had to sit through that, but joins us now in the program. Are you a Vegas guy, Arash?
I'm definitely a Vegas guy, and I've gone there for work and I've gone there to play. I was listening to what you guys were talking about. A very underrated spot, I tell people about this all the time, is a restaurant called Piero's.
Ooh.
And for those who love college basketball, especially old school college basketball, that was one of Jerry Tarkanian's old haunts. And when you think about the UNLV running, and what they were. And when Tarkanian died, every customer for the next year when they came in got a small black Tark pin for their lapel, which I still actually have in my collection. But when I was down there for the Mayweather-McGregor fight, we went in for a crew dinner into Piero's in the lounge. And two tables over, there was Mike Tyson having dinner. So you never know who you're going to run into. Piero's. And you don't know when you walk in there if it's 1920 or 2020. That's that kind of place.
That's epically cool. Where is Piero's?
It's just off the strip. It's close to the old Las Vegas Hilton beside the convention center.
Okay.
By the way, Darren, your Patriots outfit I'm seeing Mr. Smith wearing. I thought we were Vikings in arms, brother. What is going on here?
It's just a respect for this organization, and the thing is, I love this logo. I think the logo was fantastic. I've worn tons of Viking stuff here, and Vikings are my team, and I'll go to my grave being a Vikings fan. But I know it's a little different. And my wife, when I walked out, she says, "You know, were you kissing Tom Brady's ass today?" And No. I'm just, you know. But I love this logo. So I just thought I'd bring a little color to the set.
Craig, I think we're going to go to our grave with the Vikings never winning a championship.
you could be right, but I'll still be cheering for them. And you never know. You just never know.
How about Toronto now, Arash? What's happening with the Argos? Are they going to do anything?
The Argos?
Yeah.
No, look, I really like the Dinwiddie hire. I think that Ryan's going to bring a completely kind of fresh approach to the offensive side of the football there. I was really interested in his staff. He hasn't worked with any of them other than as a player. He and Ike Charlton were in Winnipeg together. He and Fred Reed were in Winnipeg together. But it's not like he brought over a whole bunch of his Alouette or Stampeder buddies. I like the influx of this kind of youthful energy into the league, a different approach, a different philosophy, a different offensive philosophy. What I also like what the Argos did is that they didn't throw $550,000 at a quarterback, try and get an instant fix. What they wanted to do was they wanted to upgrade their defensive line. As Craig will tell you, the best pass defense is a pass rush, which is why they went after Willie Jefferson. It surprised me that they let Cleon Lang walk because he's probably the best Canadian defensive lineman in the league. But then you go and spend money on two quarterbacks. You know, McLeod Bethel-Thompson is okay. Matt Nichols is probably a little better than okay when healthy. And, you know, anytime you're talking about a shoulder surgery with a quarterback, you never quite know when they're going to be absolutely right. Only Matt Nichols really is going to know that. So I think the Argos are getting a little bit better, but there's a long way to go from 4-14.
What about Jamie Franklin coming to Saskatchewan? What do you think of that?
Well, I mean, I don't really think, honestly, John, I don't think much of backup quarterbacks, to be quite honest with you. The one name I was interested in was Dakota Prukup, because when I've spoken with different quarterback coaches and offensive coaches over the last couple of years, and when I was recently talking to a quarterback coach who's not in the CFL, who got his hands on him and got his eyes on Prukup, they think there's something there. So I thought Calgary, that was an interesting landing spot for him. Look, if Cody stays healthy, the backup quarterback gig doesn't matter as much. James Franklin has come with a lot of hype.
For a moment, you're the commissioner of Major League Baseball. What are you doing with this Astros situation?
I thought Facebook was going to shut you down because you were going to talk about election fixing in Russia and the United States. Look, I don't know what can be done now about the Astros situation. The hay's out of the barn, as they say. That banner is not going anywhere. So they are the 2017 World Series champions. That's not going to change. Jeff Luhnow, they're now former GM, out for a year at least. AJ Hinch, the manager, out for a year at least. The players wore it. The players owned it yesterday. And now it's about, okay, what can be done moving forward to make sure that this stuff isn't going to happen again? We saw this in football with the Spygate and the Deflategate. When you start stripping first-round draft picks and firing people and suspending them for a year, Carlos Beltran and Alex Cora and AJ Hinch, look, message sent. And they probably are the scapegoats in all of this because they were the ones that got caught. I think there are elaborate cheating schemes that are going on across professional sports, in every professional sport, including baseball. But now people are probably going to be on alert that if we get caught, our careers are in jeopardy. Our careers that are paying us seven figures. The only thing you can really do is have a detriment moving forward. And I think baseball has done that.
If I'm the Dodgers, do I even want that World Series banner? What does it mean to get handed a banner anyways now? It won't feel the same.
Look, I covered that World Series, and I have a hard time believing in any postseason you're going to have any kind of garbage can tip-off. Because when you have 50,000 people going absolutely bananas in the lead up to every single pitch, there's no tell. It's one thing to do it in the regular season, and the Astros obviously did. I just don't see it being feasible to have happened in the World Series. And let's remember, Game 7 in 2017 was at Dodger Stadium. So it wasn't even in Houston's own ballpark. It wasn't as if they had the camera set up, you know, with the monitor, because they wouldn't have been able to have the camera in somebody else's stadium. So I understand that the Dodgers are upset. I understand that a lot of other teams are upset. But, you know, under the laws of the land, they won that World Series. And, you know, the Dodgers lost last year in Game 5 of the Divisional Series. They have their own things to figure out.
I don't want to keep you much longer because I know we've taken up enough of your time. And I want to get to some tennis really quickly, but quickly, Clark Compton asks, how many wins for the Jays this year?
Clark, they're a better team than last year, but last year's team lost 95 games. I would think if this is a 500 season, it'd be solid for the Jays. I think they'll be a few games below 500. Their pitching staff is better. you know, bringing in Hyunjin Ryu, he's a legitimate ace, Cy Young finalist. You know, Tanner Roark and Chase Anderson will eat some innings. It won't be like last year and 21 different starting pitchers and that slog that it was. But again, today, you know, you're hearing Ryan Barucki's got elbow tightness, and that's somebody who missed some time. I think the Jays take a big step forward, but the Yankees are running away with that division.
Okay, quick one from Craig.
Yeah, you believe the Yankees are going to do it. Obviously, they've solidified the pitching. The Canadian kids has some surgery. But if they win, Tammen and I are going to go to Manhattan for the parade.
Oh, well, thanks for the warning. I'll be sure not to be in New York. I didn't know the president and the vice president were allowed to be on the same plane together, Mr. Smith. Look, New York is so good. Adding Garrett Cole just changes the dynamic together in the Bronx. With Paxton, the big maple, he had some surgery, but he's expected to be back around the All-Star break. You talk about a trade deadline acquisition, so to speak. How about adding that arm in the summer to what you already have? I think New York runs away with the American League East. I still think Houston is a viable World Series candidate this year. Where they're really going to feel the sting of all this discipline is going to be in the seasons to come when they've been stripped of a couple of draft picks. But Boston seems like they've given up. And to me, it's Houston and New York again. They're in the 2017 ALCS. They're in last year's ALCS. Wouldn't surprise me if it's a here-we-go-again situation for the AL pennant.
All right, Arash. And lastly, tennis. I mean, Vasek Pospisil's got me putting maple syrup in my coffee this morning. Unfortunately, he lost yesterday. I'm watching on the screen, actually. I've got Felix right now. He was up a break in the second set. Now they're on serve. But this is an exciting time for Canadian tennis and Canadian sports.
Yeah, and the Pospisil story is amazing for a number of reasons. But really, this comeback. You know, it was under a year ago, I was actually emceeing a function in downtown Toronto. This was just after Bianca had won Indian Wells. And it was a Q&A with Vasek, and it was a Q&A with Bianca. And at that point, Vasek was out. He had serious back surgery in January. He didn't really return to the tour until July or August. And when I spoke with him last March, he wasn't sure what was ahead for his career. And it was last October that when he finally made his comeback, actually won a round at the U.S. Open, beating a then world top 10, Vasek was 248 in the world the first week of October. Now we fast forward, 4 months later, and he's top 100. He has beaten some quality opponents. He was instrumental in Canada's run to the Davis Cup final. He has become the elder statesman of Canadian tennis on the singles and doubles side. He's a likable dude who, you know, those young kids like Felix and Dennis gravitate towards. Post Media actually named him Canada's Athlete of the Year last year, which was which I thought was wild, but it just goes to show you just how big an end of the season he had and what a terrific start to 2020 he's having.
Yeah, I could talk tennis with you all day, Arash. Wayne Grollo says, I'm happy with Canadian tennis right now. And lots of comments coming in, loving you on the program. Rob Johnson says, love listening to Arash talk ball. He's so good on the broadcast. So I'm sure you're happy that baseball season is back. So appreciate this.
I'm headed to Dunedin next weekend, and it is 28 degrees below zero right now with the wind chill in Toronto. I am
You enjoy it, and have a great weekend.
Safe travels, man.
Thank you very much, Craig. Next time I see you, better be in purple.
Okay. Aren't you going to come to the Briar here in Moose Jaw? Or the girls? Scotty's in Moose Jaw.
Dunedin, John, as much as Moose Jaw in
purple. Thanks, Arash.
See you guys.
All right, Arash Madani joining us from Sportsnet. That's a lot of fun. I love catching up with Arash.
He's great.
Oh, yeah.
He's one of the professionals in the business. I mean, he dresses so well. He's very good at what he does. And Brendan and I, we sat in Dunedin stands watching a Blue Jays game a few years ago. We had a camp down there, and then we went to a game. And he's just a wealth of knowledge in everything, baseball, tennis. Basketball, you name it, he knows.
He must have no time at home. Eh? He covers sports like nobody I've ever seen before.
Busiest guy I know.
I'd like for him to throw me in his luggage and take me around.
We all would. Yeah. He lets you get away with it once, but he won't be so nice the second time if you're not in purple. You know that, right?
This is the last time I'll be wearing this.
No. It looks good. Don't worry about that. All right. Because of the dropout, we're a little behind on the clock. So we've had John Murphy waiting patiently, the assistant general manager of the Toronto Argonauts, and he's going to join us right now. So right from Arashin to John, hey, appreciate you being so patient with that this morning. John, how are you?
Doing excellent. I was able to nap through most of that.
Of course you were. I'm going to turn these guys loose. They got the football questions. They've been doing their homework, John, but you have too.
I was able to enjoy the Tony Eason throwback that he's wearing over there.
That's pretty good, hey? Yeah. But you've been busy, man. What's it been like the last week in your world?
Well, I think that having that open window was quite exciting and very unique, something the CFL tried. And I think it definitely got like kind of hot stove. CFL was sort of the lay of the land. And anytime you can consistently have the CFL in the news for an entire week while the Raptors are on a 12-15 game winning streak and the Leafs are in the middle of their season, for any CFL talk to be going on in the city of Toronto, I think makes it a good thing. And I think you saw that all around the league, right? For the first time and whatever, a long time, the Calgary Stampeders were in on free agency. You know, pretty much every team was in on this conversation. So I think it was great for the league to be able to hear from Hoff, hear from Ed Hervey, hear from Brock, and throughout the whole league. And then I think it was an exciting 24, 48 hours for pretty much all of the teams, in the league for their fans and the media to see so much movement.
Hey, John, Craig Smith. You pretty much added 14 or so players, and you lost about 15. I mean, you went at it hard. What can you say about all that, all the different transactions and stuff like that? You really solidified the quarterbacking position, which was necessary, and now you're ready to roll.
Yeah, I think, you know this better than most. It's our job to find the Americans, right? I mean, mm-hmm. If you can't do that, you're in the wrong business and you have no business doing it. For us, if there was a tie in terms of talent and finances, we were going to kind of lean toward going after the Canadian player and saying that our scouting and developing and the coaching staff we hired is there to develop the young Americans. And then we had an idea that there was a really good chance that of the guys we would be losing, two of them would be kind of higher end content of Canadian talent. So to now kind of spread that around and have 7, 8, 9 options, for guys that can start and play as Canadians, I think that now leads us, in a good direction, having a lot of draft capital and the draft, prospects now are even that much more valuable because it's, multiple controllable years at a good salary. So if you draft wisely and have everybody involved like we plan to, I think we can then start moving in a direction of where, your content with Canadians is not something that's up for grabs on a yearly basis. And also the important thing for us was acknowledging, what's been said, which is Toronto is not for everyone. And we 100% agree, with that statement. But we also say that there are guys that are from here that want to come here. And there's other guys that have lived other places that were born and raised here that would like to come back. So our door will be open to any and all of those guys. And for the ones that it doesn't fit, we're appreciative of their time being here, and we wish them nothing but the best.
John Lynch here, John. Good to see you again. What's the story with the fans now in Toronto? Are they turned on at all? Are you going to be able to turn that around? Anybody can turn it around, you can.
Well, I appreciate that. I think the biggest thing is you have to give them a reason to believe, right? Every fan of any team that's been struggling, what they want is hope. That's all they'll have until training camp is hope and some new bios to read through. But, I think that's what you're offering is that, hey, we didn't do things exactly the same way, as been done in the past. There was a different idea, for how to approach this. And once the lay of the land presented itself to go after some really quality players and maybe double up and sometimes triple up based off of the salaries that were outgoing, being able to add, like Craig said, 14 or 15 guys, and it came at, you know, lesser salary combined than the 14 or 15 that left, it still leaves us a good opportunity to attack the next wave of free agency if it comes. Gives us some money to use in the fall, depending on our situation and who's coming back from the XFL or from the NFL, you know, to our league. And then, like I said, you know, having those four or five picks in the top 25, I think lays a good foundation for what can happen moving forward.
John Murphy is the assistant general manager of the Toronto Argonauts, and you mentioned hope. If anybody can deliver hope, it's got to be Pinball, right? I mean, what's that been like? It's a breath of fresh air to have him back in the Canadian Football League.
Right, and you know, the most interesting part is, and there might be someone who knows the answer to this, I'm not sure if anyone has ever been able to pull off the trifecta in terms of winning a Grey Cup as a player, as a coach, and then as a front office or GM. And, you know, like, so now when you see how much time and effort and energy, you know, he's putting into this, you know, to provide that opportunity, you know, to him, you know, to have him there in the office, I think, every day. And even where you saw at the end of last season, you know, in the locker room and interacting with the coaches and staff, I think that's really going to have the fans trust to believe that there is the opportunity to turn things around and, you know, to get back on track. And if they needed any element to see that, just happened. It happened a year ago in Montreal, where they struck lightning in a bottle, and the organization did a great job of turning that into to ticket sales, into marketing opportunities, to a great turnout for their home games down the stretch and into the playoffs. And so I think you saw an organization where all aspects of their club were working well in unison together. And I think, you know, rebranding and redoing things here, and having Pinball at the forefront of it, like you said, will do nothing but help our fans engage with our team.
Hey, John, will you be heading down south on the free agent camp circuit looking for those gems?
Yeah, so, you know, that's the next step is, you know, we'll have a couple of weeks to look into some of that, then come back for the couple of workouts leading up to the combine, and then throughout March and April do a couple of other camps, and then I think we're going to focus our concentration on maybe keeping a couple of those camps for right before the season starts, and then keeping two for in season that we can do kind of leading around NFL cuts or that second bye week that we have right before the fall.
You've been around here a long time, John. You've seen the good and the bad of this league. Going into 2020, I hear pros and cons. How do you see things? What's the status of the league from your point of view? Good, bad, indifferent?
No, I think, you know, doing things differently, I think the outside-the-box theories of, you know, trying, you know, to engage this global idea, looking for Canadian content, you know, in areas they, you know, we haven't found them, right? We're in the process of, you know, seeing an NFL guy, you know, potentially come back to the CFL recently. You know, coincidentally, he's also the son of one of our coaches, but, you know, to find a Canadian athlete that's playing a different sport but has a background, you know, in football and looking to possibly convert him, you know, from rugby back to football, you know, as a Canadian is an exciting opportunity and idea, you know, for us to engage upon. And I think the next step is, you know, we want to see who's the next guy, right? You saw last year, you know, it was Fajardo, and a few years ago, you know, it was Bo Levi Mitchell, and, you know, then in Hamilton, first with Mazzoli and now with Dane Evans, you know, who's that next quarterback? Who's that next wave, you know, of superstar that's going to come into our league and help grow our product? But I think anytime people are watching it in the States, they have a different appreciation for our game. It's different, but different doesn't mean, you know, any better or worse. It means it's different. And there's a lot of exciting players in our league that get to be seen, you know, throughout North America. And I think the idea of expanding and putting it globally means there's, you know, people around the world, you know, wearing our logos or watching our games or, you know, seeing our content. It just kind of raises the level and expectation of all the teams, you know, to kind of take, you know, to ramp up, you know, that aspect of things. And I think that's, you know, one of the primary factors here is we have to be more creative with how we do things and how we get our fans back engaged. And I think, you know, pulling out kind of all the stops in order to do that is something we're planning on doing.
Just a couple more for you, John, then we'll let you go. How close were you in getting Willie to come to Toronto? Did you feel close in signing Jefferson?
Well, I think the interesting part there, you know, never was it to make him the highest paid player in the league. It was, you know, more shared as, you know, you tell me what it would take for you to feel comfortable coming here, for this to be where you want to be, you know, to make this your home. And then also at the same exact time when they were here, half of the time that Willie and his family were here was spent not engaging them and allowing them the time to just be here, look around the city for themselves, see that if you live in downtown Toronto, it's also 15 or 20 minutes, you know, from living in the suburbs, as much as there is stuff to do downtown, right? And at the end of the day, if his choice and decision was to go for back-to-back Grey Cups with his teammates, and that he would prefer to raise his family not in a, you know, big city atmosphere, number one, we respect it, and number two, we wouldn't have changed anything we did in order to bring him here or recruit him here, because I think there are a lot of guys that are now around the league who know you can't sit courtside at a Raptors game, you know, if you're in any other city in the CFL. You don't have the off-field opportunities that you have here. TSN is right here in our backyard, and so the opportunities are endless if this is where you want to be. And I'll continue to say that I, you know, wholeheartedly agree with the decisions that, you know, James made and Willie made, and also, you know, Sean, our own guy, Sean McEwen. You know, sometimes you have to celebrate, you know, that people have decisions to make, and that, I, you know, I'd love nothing more, right? If the CFL announced that they were having an expansion team in New York or New Orleans, you know, I'd be hard pressed to say that I wouldn't ask the Argos for the opportunity to interview or speak to those teams, right? If somebody offered any of you three, you know, an opportunity to do your job and be in front of your friends and family, you know, we'd all like that opportunity. So the fact that that's what, you know, Willie and Sean and James and a few others, you know, had the opportunity to do, there'll be a time and place where free agents who are from Ontario now know that they'd like to be here, and we'll welcome them with open arms.
We need more people like that want what's best for the players, and I think that's a big reason why players are going to want to play for you out in Toronto. And the last one comes from our producer, Clark. He mentions Deveris Daniels and Canadian receivers brought in. He wants to know what the new Air Force in Toronto is going to look like this season.
Well, hopefully there'll be more than just a few flyovers. You know, we prefer that those flyovers happen kind of during the four quarters of the game and not just pregame after the anthem. But I think it is given a little different look, right? You have the opportunity after drafting a guy like Curley Gittens and having Levi already here from a past draft, and then knowing that, you know, Juwan and Deveris were interested not only in playing in Toronto but coming and playing together. That was kind of a unique part of learning last week when we talked to both of them, that they were training together. They knew each other from Calgary. They had talked about it a little bit, you know, last year, you know, with things. So continuing and stroking that conversation over the weekend, and then allowing it to be something that they continued, you know, to talk about, you know, through the morning of free agency, I think allowed those deals to kind of happen a little quicker than they would have if they didn't know about Toronto, or they didn't know, you know, that idea of, you know, possibly coming together. And then, like I said, I think it's a great opportunity to give your ratio some flexibility. And the one thing we've seen, you know, whether it's the old Montreal and BC teams with Wally and the success that Jim Popp and those guys had in Montreal, or it's what Huff has done there, or what J.O. and Craig did last year, you know, out in Saskatchewan. When you have ratio flexibility and good quarterback play, a lot of other things can get covered over, and you can live and die through a season, you know, with the ebbs and flows of injuries and inconsistency. You can win a lot of games if your Canadian content is there on a weekly basis.
John, really appreciate this. Great catching up with you. And when you guys come through in early July, we'll have the coffee on, the seat will be warm, and we'd love to see you down here in the bunker. Appreciate this.
Excellent. Thanks so much. Hopefully Tony Eason will not be sitting next to me.
No, we'll make sure of it. We'll make sure of it. Thank you.
Thanks, Gregor.
Yeah, take care. Hey.
All right.
See you guys.
All right, John Murphy is the assistant general manager of the Toronto Argonauts. All right, we are late for a break, so we'll take a break. The Prairie Mobile text line is open at 306-840-8777. We'll get to your thoughts and comments on the Prairie Mobile text line next as well. Our daily poll question for Capital Automall Universal Collision Center: how many games for Zach Cassian? We want to know. We'll update those poll results and more when we return. The Rod Peterson Show here on a Football Friday at rodpeterson.com and Facebook Live.
I've chased adrenaline my entire life, but
I'm talking fourth quarter. Monster hit. Crowd losing it. Nothing beats the energy of a Rush game.
At Prairie Mobile, you can get the phone you want when you want. All smartphones are $0 every day. With convenient locations across Saskatchewan, Prairie Mobile, your Sastel authorized dealer, has you covered. Visit us online at prairiemobile.com.
Universal Collision Center is Saskatchewan's premier auto body shop. Our extensive process ensures that every vehicle that comes through our state-of-the-art facilities is returned pre-accident condition and that every UCC customer experience is an easy one. We're certified to repair all makes, all models, and all luxury brands, and Universal Auto Spa offers full-service detailing packages to suit you and your vehicle. Plus, we're the official body shop of your Saskatchewan Rough Riders. Universal Collision Center, 3910 Rochdale Boulevard and 2355 First Avenue in Regina.
Bronco Plumbing and Heating has been servicing Regina and surrounding areas since 1978. At Bronco, we service all makes and models of furnaces, air conditioners, water heaters, and water softeners. Bronco also provides full sewer service, plumbing service, and duct cleaning. Call Bronco Plumbing and Heating today at 306-781-2090. Proud sponsor of the Rod Peterson Show.
If you're looking for radio that's got a great message, well, we've got it. LTD Radio plays the best of the 60s to the 90s, all with amazing stories about people right from your community. You can listen live right now at ltdradio.com, iTunes, Streama, and TuneIn. LTD Radio, music to build a better day.
For more Rod Peterson on demand, visit rodpeterson.com.